Chuck Chat Technorama for Wednesday, September 7th, 2005.
Any similarities between this podcast and actual events and or persons living or dead are purely coincidental. Names have been changed to protect the innocent, and no animals were harmed in making this podcast.
This show is a proud member of the TechPodcast.com network.
Find out more about this and other shows at
www.techpodcast.com.
TechPodcast.com.
If it's tech, it's here.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
Unilateral phase detractors. Cardinal gram meters. Six hydrocopic marble veins. Conductors and fluxes. Prefamulated annulite. Malleable logarithmic casing. Swerving bearings. Panometric fan. Milford trident. And the face's lunar wing shaft. Lotus O deltoid type. Semi-boloid slots of the stator. Drawn reciprocation dingle arm. Sinusoidal defuneration. Retroincabulator.
Welcome to Check Chat Technorama. We are dancing to that song. We just love that song, don't we? If you look at the webcam, we're just a bunch of morons.
Yep.
I'm your host, Chuck Tomasi. With me, as always, is Craig Stepp. Hello, Craig.
Hello there.
Chuck Chat Technorama, once you go geek, you'll never go back. Who writes this stuff?
I don't know. Some moron.
Wow. Check out the dancing on the webcam. If you're new to Chuck Chat Technorama, welcome. This is a show where we sit and geek out for 30 minutes or so of no particular duration. We talk about latest news, although we try to stay away from the main stories. We've been dropped a couple of golden eggs right in our laps, which is usually better than the rotten eggs we're given.
Is that what that is?
Yes. Tonight we'll be looking at, Craig's going to give his review of the Opera web browser. Apple was kind enough to drop a whole boatload of good stuff in our lap today. So we'll
new toys.
New toys. Geek alert, geek alert. Oh, we need the klaxons. Oh, that would have been a good place for them.
That's all right.
Okay. We'll be talking about the iPod Nano and our first looks at iTunes 5.0. There's some interesting stuff you'll want to stick around for. But first, yes.
Wait a minute. By the way, that wasn't dancing. That was Hybo on that webcam.
But first, a word from our sponsor. If you organize conference calls or hold business meetings with remote clients, you can use GoToMeeting to keep everyone on the same page and make your meetings more effective. It's helped our members at TechPodcast.com stay organized, made planning much easier, and saved us time. Best of all, it's affordable for both small and large businesses. GoToMeeting has agreed to let TechPodcast.com listeners try their web conferencing tool free for 30 days. Just visit GoToMeeting.com/TechPodcast for your free trial now. Discover how GoToMeeting can revolutionize the way you hold business meetings.
This is Mark Shepard, and whenever I'm in podcast land, I listen to Chuck and Craig at Chuck Chat Technorama, the place where 101 is just a way of life.
On this day in tech history for September 7th, 2005. This is the 250th day of the year. There are 115 days remaining in 2005. It was on this day that the world's first submarine attack, the American submersible craft Turtle, attempts to attach a time bomb to the hull of the British Admiral Richard Howe's flagship Eagle in New York Harbor. That was in 1776 on this day. It was also on this day in 1997 the first test flight of the FA-22 Raptor takes place. And on this day, September 7th, 1998, Google Incorporated is founded, and we all lived happily ever after. That's the way it was on this day in tech history for September 7th, 2005. It's Google's birthday, Craig. Happy birthday to Google.
Happy birthday to Google.
That doesn't work, does it?
Hey, you can't fit all those candles on the cake.
18 billion hits. We have news.
Oh, yeah?
We have news.
Oh, yeah, wait. I put some in there. I know we got news.
Yeah.
Actually, yeah, are you familiar with the Dr. Dobbs magazine?
Yes. Wasn't it Dr. Mm-hmm. Dobbs Journal?
The Dr. Jobs Journal. That's what I'm going to say. Dr. Jobs Journal, they are starting to do some podcasts. They are around 5 minutes or less, and they talk about anything from web services. Discusses the recently launched Java Teaching Initiative portal. There's a bunch of different stuff. Different people are talking about the different... I'm sorry, it's Jonathan Erickson is talking about different... I guess little news bits and announcements and stuff like that. So it's all right. I listen to a few of them. I like Dr. Jobs all right. They're a little more Windows-centric than I like. I like programming with, cross-platform a little bit, but yeah. They're pretty good.
Yeah, now, are they available in iTunes?
I don't know about iTunes yet. It seems like I went to look and I didn't see it, but they do have it on their website, and, of course, we'll have a link in the show notes to it. But I don't remember seeing it in the podcast directory.
Okay.
But I'm sure it'll be there before too long.
And he also found something from Ars Technica.
Yes. They have a link to a news article saying that you need IE only to file a report with FEMA.
Oh, come on.
That kind of sucks.
That's almost ironic when you think that the FEMA is the disaster place and IE is a disaster.
Talk about adding insult to injury.
I guess. Wait. Your house is blown away, so we want you to use a really insane browser.
No kidding. And, I went there because I was like, are they sure about this? And I went and looked. And, of course, I didn't fill out an application or anything, but I got to the point and it said, sorry, you must need IE6 or better. I was like, I do. I got Firefox.
Good answer.
But, yeah, but they didn't listen. Anyway, I just thought they kind of sucked. Now, anyway, also...
Who is Kevin Smith?
The director.
Of?
Clerks, Mallrats,
Jersey Girl.
Yeah, duh. Anyway, Kevin Smith is holding an auction for relief efforts. He is auctioning off among things. You can pay if they're a winning bidder. You can go to his house for a barbecue. He'll cook, and a set of beers included. And they'll have cards to play poker. And if you win, you could win your donation back.
Are they showing movies?
What's that?
Are they showing movies?
Oh, yeah. I'm sure. Probably. Hey, and get this. You've seen Clerks, right?
I have to admit I have not.
Oh, you haven't seen Clerks?
Nope.
Okay, stop the show right now. Go run.
Yeah, we'll be back in a flash of a nanosecond in pod years.
Yeah, well, they're making Clerks too, and one of the winning auctions is a walk-on part in the movie, and the second part is you can win a scene in the background. So, and there's a couple other things on there too, which I thought was pretty cool. So, kudos to Kevin.
Oh, well, if I get in the background, I'll have to bring my bald wig.
That's Richard Bobes in the back.
Hello!
Oh, gosh.
I found an article on Dig. Dig got punked today. Or maybe it was yesterday. Yeah, this guy put up a bogus article that said Dig is being bought out by Apple just to see how bad people really fall for this stuff. If it says Dig or Kevin Rose or anything remotely resembling that, people jump all over that stuff. So he said, let's try this as a little experiment. And sure enough, it happened. Now, Dig, it just seems like a little bit of self-centered promotional stuff that they don't need to be putting announcements for the latest Dig Nation on Dig. That's what RSS feeds are for.
But as a as a general news source, that you're not going to find a lot of other material anywhere. And granted, we get a lot of our material for this show off of Dig, just because it's handy to say, hey, what's Craig been looking at? What's Chuck been looking at? Let's compare. Maybe if we've got similar interests on some of this stuff, we'll just go talk about it.
Well, and in all fairness, just about every news article shows up on Dig anyway.
Right, right.
Yeah.
But I thought it was funny that this kind of proved what you can get away with.
I know.
Kevin Rose tied his shoes! 750 digs.
We should put on there, Kevin Rose appears on Technorama.
Hey! Maybe we should talk to this man.
He's been on the last five shows and see how your downloads look.
Wait till that gets into Podscope, dude.
Yeah, right. That's right.
This is an In the Trenches alert. According to the SANS Institute at the Internet Storm Center, the Red Cross has put out a call for volunteers for sysadmins, network engineers, and information security specialists. The Red Cross needs volunteers with system administration, network engineering, and information security expertise to assist in the design and implementation of a network of Internet kiosks. These kiosks will be deployed to all the Red Cross shelters to be used by people displaced by the hurricane and flooding to report that they are alive and to get contacts with others. Please see the Internet Storm Center at www.incidents.org for more information. At this time, they do not have a clear point of contact with the Red Cross so that you can send your information to SANS on where you live, your availability, and your skill set should you wish to volunteer. Keep in mind, you may actually not be required to travel if some of the Red Cross centers in your area are used. For more information, keep an eye on the Internet Storm Center. Thanks for listening.
Make a name for yourself at GoDaddy.com. Reserve your place on the net with your own .com domain or other domain name. And now at GoDaddy, each domain name includes Economy Mail, a $9.95 value free. That's your own personalized email account. Plus, listeners to this show get an additional 10% off any order. Just enter TECH3, that's TECH, and the number 3 is your source code. So head over to GoDaddy.com today.
Technology is a wonderful thing when it works, and when it doesn't, you get Chuck Chat.
Tell me about opera.
Tell you about opera?
I am listening to Chuck Chat.
I am listening to Chuck Chat.
No, in Latin, please.
No. I gave up on Latin.
Not that opera. The browser.
Oh, I was going to say, I can't speak Perl. No. Anyway, I took a look at opera. I took a took up on their opportunity the other week. It was the 10th anniversary of opera, which I was surprised. They've been around for 10 years, but, you know, what do you know? I've been out of high school for, well, we won't go there. So, at any rate, you sign up at their site, and you got a free key, and you downloaded their opera browser, and I checked it out, because it's been a long time since I used it. I used it back before Firefox really got some legs under it.
Yeah.
And actually before Mozilla really got some legs under it, I should say, I was using it under Linux because it was really a good version of Linux, or a good browser for Linux. So now it's come a long way, and I would say that I'm not quite ready to give up my Firefox just yet, but I do like Opera. It has tab browsing, of course, your standard features that you would normally see for any browser.
Mm-hmm.
Except IE. As a feed reader, so you can subscribe to feeds right there, and they open up into a new tab by themselves. You can grab the tabs and organize them by dragging them back and forth. I can click on a tab and drag it up, and you know how you get that little piece of paper like you're dragging and dropping something?
Mm-hmm.
You can drag it off there and tear off a tab into its own window.
Well, that's cool. So you can just rip, you've got your series of tabs, you just rip one off and it's now a new window.
That's right.
Tear away tab browsing.
That's right. And of course, like I said, you can drag them back and forth. The address bar, you know, where you type in where you're going, it has, in the little drop down, you know, it starts giving you a list of what sites are in your history.
Yeah.
There's a home button there. There's a top 10 there, the top 10 sites I've been to. There's a bookmarks link right there. It shows all your bookmarks that you have in the browser. Also, in that little drop down, there's an Amazon search and a price comparison search. So, which is kind of nice. See, what else did they have? Oh, they have a really nice download manager. It opens up in a whole tab by itself. It's not like a separate window or something like that, like the little download window is for Firefox.
Mm-hmm.
let's see. What else? Other than that, it's pretty similar. The interface is nice and clean. I like the look of it. So I'm going to keep it around. I'm not ready to, you know, to ditch Firefox just yet because I like Firefox and some of the plugins.
Yeah,
however, there are a lot of plugins for Opera, which I haven't even looked at yet. So I think it'll be definitely worth taking a look at.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
You're listening to Technorama.
Well, like I said, Apple was kind enough to drop a whole bunch of news in our lap today. And before after I got home, before setting up for this show, I watched the keynote that was released moments before. I was actually poking around on Dig, and I said, hey, what's new? And said, posted 3 minutes ago, the keynote where Steve Jobs introduced iTunes 5.0, the Motorola Rocker, better known as the iTunes phone, has officially been released, and the iPod Nano, which is their new small, slim, very thin iPod.
That thing looks like about the size of a stack of business cards, a small stack.
Oh, it's really slim and thin. It's solid state. It's not got a hard drive in it, but it's comes in two models, 2 gigabyte, which holds about 500 songs, and 4 gigabytes, which holds about 1,000 songs. And you compare that to the 1,000-song iPod they came out with in, 2001, 4 years ago? Mm-hmm. I've still got one sitting. Oh, it's up on my wife's dresser now. But
yeah, it's hers now.
Yeah, it's hers now. It's 1/5 the size. This thing is so slim and thin. The nice thing is, it uses the same 32-pin connector that's on the 3G and 4G.
Yeah, the regular dock connector.
Yep. So you can use the same FireWire cable. You can use the same car chargers. All the accessories that fit in that iPod connector still work. It's got a color screen. It's got a nice flush-mounted click wheel. I thought it came with a cradle, but that is not the case. I was misled by the website. The keynote said that the cradle is coming out later.
I was going to say, I bet the 4 gig may come with it later, because I know when I bought my 40 gig iPod, it came with it, but my wife's 20 did not. I'm just guessing on that.
The only thing that I noticed that just didn't make a whole lot of sense to me, and it had to have been done for purely engineering reasons, is that the headphone jack is on the bottom, down by the it's USB 2.0, I should mention. It's not FireWire. It's USB 2.0. The connector, the headphone jack, is down on the bottom. And I don't understand why they did that. I mean, now all of...
Well, I have an idea. I bet $20 that it has to do with that color screen up at the top and how thin the thing is. It's probably the only place I could put it.
Well, why not slide the screen down a quarter of an inch and put the jack up there?
Also, if the lanyard headphones that they have, when it's hanging around your neck, you reach down and pull up your iPod, if it was up the other way, it'd be upside down. So the dock connector that it snaps into and your headphones and everything are...
But yet the wristband has the headphone thing. When you put it in the armband, not wristband, thing.
Wait a minute. I think when you use the lanyard headphones, it just uses the dock connector. It doesn't plug into the headphones at that point. So when you put it on your armband.
Oh, you're right. You're right. When you put it in the armband, you still have the headphone jack on the bottom. And if you're out riding a bike or something, all that dirt's going to fly up into the jack.
I think that's kind of minimal.
You think so?
I don't know.
I thought it was one interesting flaw. We'll have to see how that comes out.
I think it has to do with probably where all the innards are located.
Well, that's why I say, purely for engineering reasons, that's why it's on the bottom.
I mean, they said it fits in a the little watch pocket on your jeans.
You'd have to have a pretty deep watch pocket or coin pocket, whatever it is. I don't think my pockets are quite that deep. I wouldn't be surprised if Steve Jobs, he did at the keynote, he pulled it right out of that pocket. He said, this is the pocket where your old iPod would fit, and that's pretty nice. You ever wonder what this little pocket's for? And then he pulls the iPod Nano out of there.
Well, I used to carry my Zippo in there.
I used to carry my, never mind.
Yeah, let's move on.
Wait a minute. This isn't my show. This is Chuck Chat with Chuck Tomasi.
And in other announcements from Apple, they also came out with the iTunes phone. It's by Motorola. They call it the Rocker. It was R-O-K-R. Which stands for something, but they didn't elaborate on what that was. So I'm going to leave that one alone. I'm going to leave the people who are more familiar with phones. It's like 4-band, GSM. They partnered with Singular, yada, 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 and plays iTunes from the interface. There's a button right on the phone that lets you jump right into the iTunes interface. When the phone rings, the music pauses. We'll see how that goes. Stereo headphones, stereo sound. So it should sound really neat. Holds up to 100 songs. But everybody's wondering, will it download songs automatically so it can be the first true portable podcatching client?
I wonder if you can make your ringtones MP3s.
Yeah. Maybe they could be an opera. Sorry.
You have a call.
And, of course, they upgraded iTunes to 5.0, and it looks like a lot of the gripes that people had about how they threw together the podcasting stuff real quick, a lot of them have been ironed out. The podcasts are now in the library like regular songs. That means you can put together playlists to say, play this podcast, put it in this playlist. If the play count is zero, and if it's this genre, you can also make folders in the playlist and stick other playlists in the folders, which is nice. So if you wanted a Chuck Chat folder that had Freestyle and Technorama, and incidentally, the podcast playlist on the iPod would only play one song and then stop. Actually, it was the same in iTunes. It would play one podcast and then stop. So if you're out for a 2-hour bike ride and you're listening to a 30-minute show, that stunk. This solves that problem. Now you put together the playlist you want, the way you want, and just keep listening and listening and listening.
Actually, the problem was if you were trying to catch up on somebody's show.
Yes.
You know, and you had like 3 of them you wanted to listen to, and it's like, you know, you have to go back through the menus and, you know, get back into it. That was the problem.
The update is available out on Apple. I downloaded it this afternoon and loaded it on my PowerBook. However, I should warn you, there is a... Where's the klaxons now? This is a caveat warning for all of you Mac users who are thinking about upgrading to iTunes 5. Watch your playlists. This doesn't seem to be an issue with Windows that I've seen yet. If anybody can...
I didn't have that problem in Windows.
No,
anyway, describe the problem.
The problem is you install iTunes, you bring it up for the first time, and it's got to index some stuff. And mine came up with a warning and said, it looks like your iTunes library is bad. I'm naming this one to iTunes library damaged. Then it went through and indexed all my songs. When I checked my podcast list, the little purple icon near the top, they were empty. I went, 45, 50 playlists gone. I went, And it's still painful to go into the podcast directory, search for what you want, subscribe, you're back to your podcast playlist. Go back into the directory, find what you want, not for 50 of them. What I did is I went to File, Import, navigated into my iTunes library directory, and there's a file called itunes library.xml. Bring that in. All of your subscriptions are there. Double caveat, though. You will need to click on the big oblong subscribe button next to every one of them to get them back, and it will download the latest show unless you've already downloaded it.
And you can't tell me that somebody at Apple didn't see that.
I know. How did this one get past QA? There's going to be like a 501 out soon.
It happened on my Mac. It happened on your Mac and somebody else you knew.
Yeah,
it happened
on the
Windows.
Listeners. Yeah.
Wait a minute. I wonder if they're using Windows at Apple.
Maybe. Jeff Blackman wrote in also. He's one of our listeners and said, did this happen to you? And I said, yes, it did. You will also get double playlists. So if you had one called Night Music, you're going to have two of them called Night Music. Whether they're smart playlists or manual playlists, just go and delete the playlist, the duplicate of whatever it was, and you should be okay. But
So it's like playlists and podcasts is the big...
Yeah, playlists and podcast subscriptions, watch out. The good news is there's a whole bunch of other features in here, like iTunes on Windows has Outlook and Outlook Express integration. The folders, like I said, are real nice. There's a, what do they call that, navigation bar, category bar, something across the top?
Oh,
search bar?
Yeah, I'm not sure what they called that.
I think he said it was a search bar.
And it pops down right above where you're browsing or... Yeah.
Right. So when you're in your library and you want, you know, you search for Harry Potter, and you want just the audiobooks, you can click on audiobooks. Sort of a way of categorizing them at another level, but finding them quickly. If you wanted all your Harry Chapin songs, you go to music. If you wanted all your Harry Potter podcasts, you click on podcasts, and it's just a real quick way of doing another level of filtering. So
and your Harry and the Hendersons podcast and the.
Yeah, we all listen to that one every day, right? Do you have that? Do you have that one, Greg?
We'll talk after the show.
TechChat.com. Ramblings of a Technophile.
Are you a fan of Doctor Who? In that case, you need to listen to Doctor Who Podchalk.
All the latest news, reviews, and cast interviews. Also, thoughts on the longest-running sci-fi series from a British
and American perspective. Head over to thegallifreyanembassy.org to your weekly slice of your favorite renegade Time Lord.
Geek Thoughts.
How bad is it that I pass notes in school in binary?
What kind of question is that? How bad is it?
How good was it?
That's something you ask your doctor.
Yeah.
How bad is it, Doc? Thank you very much, James Naughton from the Podshock podcast. If you're interested in Doctor Who, which some of us in the U.S. are having a tough time getting, head on over there and we'll see if we can help you out. I'm at the end of the notes, Craig.
Are you really?
I'm at the... Yeah, are you? Scroll down.
Oh, yeah, I guess I am, too. Hey, don't forget, check out this coming Sunday. We're check back with us. We're going to hear from Lenny.
Oh, boy.
That's what I said.
What do you think his big news is?
I have no idea.
To him,
do you know?
To him, a haircut could be big news.
Did he tell you?
Hey, guys, I brushed my teeth.
Anyway, so you can contact us at the listener line at 206-222-CHAT. That's 2428. You can email Chuck at chuck@chuckchat.com. You can email me at keyboardmonkey@gmail.com. And, of course, a website, chuckchat.com, with links to our forums, our webcam, and our chat room. Go check it out.
Yes, the people in the chat room are lonely. They're looking for friends. Oh, that would include Craig and me.
Yeah.
Thank you, everybody. We know there are a million bazillion binary podcasts out there, but this is your favorite, right? We thank
yes,
you
sir.
For listening to it.
You know, life would be much easier if I only had the source code.